the ache in my heart to serve people, to help people, I would try to get away from it. After a while, I just surrendered. And while I was going through my own recovery, and that's why I call it books, through counseling, seeing a therapist, all those things, I said to the Lord, I can't seem to get away from this, but this also has been the source of my pain.
You're listening to the 95 Podcast from the team at 95 Network, where we host conversations specifically designed to support leaders in small and mid-sized churches.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the 95 Podcast. This is Dale Sellers, Executive Director at 95 Network, and I hope you're having a great week. Today, I get to talk to a seasoned warrior for Jesus. I was recently at a conference in the Washington, D.C. area with Converge Mid-Atlantic. They had their United Conference there and had an opportunity after doing a session to meet Cheryl Robertson. And I just hit it off with her. And she just was sharing some things with me that I thought would be very helpful to many of you today. We've talked a lot about, there's a time in ministry where you just need to get some help. And Cheryl has experienced that herself. And so we're just going to spend some time chatting together today. This is going to be a fun podcast. It's going to be totally different than what we usually do. It's going to be more laid back. Cheryl, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dale. Nice to be with you today.
I am so glad that you're here. And like I said, I just felt this great connection with you when we met at the conference and we were doing that breakout session. And I just said, hey, I want to get to know you better, but I also want our audience to get to know you a little bit. And I think you live in Maryland. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. I live in Maryland.
Okie dokie. Well, take a few moments and just kind of tell us your story a little bit.
Thank you for the opportunity. To share my story, Dale. I too had a connection with you. If you remember, I walked in your class and then left because I was looking for something else.
You were in the wrong class.
I was in the wrong class, but yeah. I wound up in the right class. Yeah. So it was such a blessing to be a part of your class. My story starts all the way back from my childhood, in particular when I turned 17 years old. A month after my 17th birthday, the exact day, our mother passed away.
Oh.
And I'm the oldest of nine. Mm. The youngest was a year old when that happened. And so, of course, that devastation impacted me the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
And having to immediately become an adult. To support our father. I was a junior in high school. I loved school, loved being on the honor roll. And now I find myself a junior in high school, a mother, big sister to my siblings, taking on all those roles that my mother would have had, grocery shopping, washing clothes, attending to all the children, finding babysitters, getting them enrolled in school and so forth. And what happened to me, I was in a place of surviving. Mm-hmm. For 2 years, I didn't even cry after my mother passed. I was so in a place of doing and mm-hmm. could not be. Yeah. 2 years later, our grandmother passed away suddenly. The floodgate of tears started, and for a month, I cried every day, off and on, and couldn't understand. Yes, I love my grandmother. Yes, it was a shock. And yes, I would have tears for her, but I didn't understand this flood of tears. And then realize, you never mourn your mother. So you have 2 years of pinned up grief that's now being released because of losing my grandmother. And so many emotions, trying to be the best daughter, the best sister, the best mom. And I found myself in these emotions of anger and despair and hopelessness. And what's going to happen to my life now? All my dreams, all my hopes mm-hmm. shattered, gone out the window mm-hmm. Because I want to take care of my siblings. Our father came to us and he was like, I don't know if I can take care of all of you by myself. We were all young.
Yeah.
And he said, maybe, you know, a few of you can go live with this relative, that relative. And at 17 years old, I stood up and said, no, Dad, we're not going to split up. I'm going to take care of our family. Why I knew that at 17, I don't know. And so that's what we did. We helped each other. We took care of each other. And it went on. So over the years, I would still have this ache in my heart. Perfectionism. Never can seem like I reach, you know, a place of satisfaction, place of fulfillment. And I became a Christian. I was dedicated to my relationship with the Lord, prayer, fasting, scriptures, Bible studies, on and on. But this ache in my heart just seemed like it would never go away. And so after just crying out to the Lord, I was like, what is wrong? And a dear friend introduced me to a book. And when I started reading the book, I felt like I was reading my life story.
Oh, really?
And that took me on a journey of seeking healing for the trauma that I had experienced in my life.
What was the name of the book?
The book was, I don't remember the full name, but it was about codependency. Mm-hmm. And the other book was Love is a Choice. Mm-hmm. And those books, I literally took off a day from work to read those books, because as I start reading them, they begin to fill my soul. Mm-hmm. In a way, it was like, finally, somebody understands what's going on with me. And all this turmoil I was having inside, I would have migraine, headaches. It manifested in upper respiratory problems. But I didn't relate those things to the fact that I had not healed mm-hmm. from all of the trauma.
Well, you didn't have time to heal because you had to pick it up and keep it going. So you took over at 17. At what point were you able to begin to start living your own life, if I can say it like that?
Wow. I probably was going on 30. And the reason why I say that is because mm-hmm. I got married, mm-hmm. had family of my own, but I still brought my two youngest siblings to live with me.
Even when you got married?
Even when I got married. And the other thing that happened to me, Dale, is that I had such a sense of responsibility for my siblings that I couldn't let them go. Even as they became young adults, I would not go to sleep at night until I've heard from every one of them that they were home, they wow. were safe.
Even and if they weren't living with you?
And they were not living with me. Wow. They had their own lives. Some were married.
Yeah.
But the sense of responsibility that I took on, it lingered and kept going. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I started a place of healing that I could get to a place to release them, to live their own lives. I did not have to be responsible anymore. And I was way in my 30s when that started happening.
Well, you got there before I did. I think I remember, as the more you talk, the more I remember why we connected, because I was in the same place. I was at this place in my life where I thought, well, Jesus is mad at me because I haven't built a mega church. And I could never relax. Were you wired that way before your mother passed? Were you already heading down this road, or did it just happen as a reaction to her passing? Do you remember?
I think I may have been already there. And the reason why I say that, being the oldest, by the time I was 10, seven of us were already born.
Mm-hmm. And you had
so
to help
when
out.
I think about, so I automatically had to step up mm-hmm. and support and help, and didn't really have that lap time myself.
Yeah.
You know, with my mother, because of supporting, and again, 10 years old and seven mm-hmm. of us already born, she needed all of our support,
yeah.
you know, and helping with each other.
Yeah. I think it's just natural for firstborns to kind of take on this kind of thing. I remember for me what, and I didn't discover any of this till 2 years ago in counseling, but, and I'm 61 today as we record this podcast. I remember my mom and dad, I never saw my mom and dad ever get in fights. So I just, they didn't do that. We didn't see that. But when I was in elementary school, 6 years old, this one time, they were arguing about, I think it was probably about money. And as I tell you the story, I could see my mother running across the hall with her hands over her face crying. And that rocked my world. And so the next day I went to school and I broke down at school and the teacher pulled me aside and said, what's wrong? I said, my mom and dad are getting a divorce. Well, they weren't. But I never seen anything like that. And so she had to call mom in when she came to pick me up that day. Of course, she was very embarrassed. But that day I discovered was the day that I took upon myself the responsibility to keep my family together.
Yes. Yes.
And I didn't even realize this till about 2 years ago. So I didn't have all the siblings you did. Did you kind of feel that kind of pressure as well?
I felt that pressure. And my siblings, we often talk about it because there was one time I was feeling so overwhelmed. And I'm thinking at this time, it may have been 13 or 14 years old. And I was like, I'm just going to run away from home. I just felt like I needed some release. And what happened, our mother is there, but all of my siblings came running to me and they're like, if you're going to run away, we're going to run away with you. It's like,
well, I can't get away.
I can't get away. So it's like, we're not going to do that. So I did not run away.
I want to ask you this question. It just popped in my head. When you think back now, looking back at it all before your mother passed, do you think she was just completely overwhelmed?
I think she was totally overwhelmed.
And she didn't have anybody to really reach out to?
I really do. And my siblings and I, we talk about it. I told them I think she was in a state of depression. Mm-hmm. Because she was totally overwhelmed. She was 37 years old when she passed.
Did she just pass suddenly? Did she get, how'd she die?
She got sick. It was like in September of 70, 1970, September. She got sick with a cold. And the cold just didn't get better. And when we got sick with a cold, she got worse. Uh-huh. By February of that following year, she didn't get better. Yeah. And she would not go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. And some of that, I believe, was we grew up in an apostolic religion and they believe in faith and God is a healer. And he had definitely all those things. Mm-hmm. But we also need a doctor. Mm-hmm. And so she didn't get better. And I said to my father, I said, we have to do something. I know she doesn't want to go to the doctor, but we are responsible. She has to go to the doctor. And Dale, this is the truth. I made an appointment for our mother to go to the doctor on February the 4th at 11 o'clock, I believe was the time. Our mother passed away early that morning on February 4th.
You waited too long.
One month after my January 4th birthday.
Oh, I just think it's a miracle you can even talk. I mean, that's a lot of pressure to overcome.
Yes. I'm 69 years old now.
You're 69 now and you're still getting it done. And you're making more of an impact now than you probably ever have.
And I've outlived both of them. Our dad passed away at 59 years old.
Wow. So now you also have been kind of in ministry throughout most of your life, too. How did all that come about?
Yes. And so from a young child, I just had this inquisitive and curiosity about the Bible. Mm-hmm. I would read the Bible. And as I remember as a child, being at Bible study, I would sit on the front row and listen to the teachers. And I would just soak in the Bible. I have these conversations with my parents about what I thought the scriptures meant versus what the Bible teacher was teaching. Mm-hmm. And God endowed me with this wisdom as a young child that was just amazing. And though I didn't know the word of being minister or ministering at that time, mm-hmm. people will come to me and ask questions and I'll share my wisdom with them. And when I look back, I literally have been doing it all my life. I serve as a minister in my church. It's the Spirit of Elijah Kingdom Church in Fort Washington, Maryland. And but even before then, being ordained as a minister, that's been my life story. It's like I used to say, do I walk around with a sign on my forehead that say, come tell me your problems? Because it didn't matter where I was, on an airplane, you know, in a different state, no matter, people would be drawn to me with their stories. And I find myself in these conversations with strangers.
Yeah.
Having these conversations.
Well, that's what happened with us. I mean, you know, because we alluded to this, but I had a breakout session I was doing at the conference, and you came in and then realized you were not in the one you signed up for, and so you started to leave, and then you came and said, "I think I will stay here," and so immediately I was like, "That was kind of cool," and then when we started talking afterwards, there was an immediate connection. So, do you feel like maybe God wired you to be a counselor, supporter, helper to people?
I truly believe that. I truly believe that. It's what I've been doing all my life. And it was amazing, Dale. I had a friend, the same friend who shared a book with me. She was in counseling years ago. And she would share with me, you know, some of her challenges. So I would give her wisdom that I had. Mm-hmm. She would come back after visiting her counselor. She would say, "Cheryl, do you know my counselor said the exact same thing to me that you share with me? You should go into counseling." That was early 80s.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I always had a desire to help people, mainly by my story, because I didn't have that support myself. We didn't mm-hmm. know about counseling and all of those things. We were younger and you had to seek help. And so that's been a passion for me. I believe it's a calling. I do it still to this day through being an executive coach, through ministry. I'm doing my life's calling and have been doing it since I was a young girl.
How many kids you got?
I have two.
That are actually yours.
That are absolutely that you didn't inherit. Yes. I have a son and a daughter. And, you know, I was a daycare mother for a very long time.
Oh, really?
And one day my children came to me and just said, "Mom, please, can we just have our mother?"
Oh, really?
You know, and no other children. So I gave up daycare for that. But our children, and I began to share with them how I believe that this calling on my life was a calling on our family, mm-hmm. and that we were to help people and serve and all of that. And my husband listened to that, and he was so very supportive. One time, Adele, I had 12 children I was caring for as a daycare mother. Then later on in the years, for 2 years, we had 12 boys that would come to our house every weekend, friends of our son. And they were, you know, children who maybe were in a single family home or whatever. For 2 years, every weekend, they came to our home. And so we were always being a family of service. Mm-hmm. And to this day, our son and our daughter, both now adults, children of their own, married. And they find themselves doing the same thing in some way.
All right. So here's the question I got to ask. You had all that stress, all that trauma, all that pressure growing up. You finally get out, get your own family, and you go and do it to yourself again. What did you think was driving you to be a daycare mother after what you'd experienced?
The ache in my heart.
Okay.
For children. The ache in my heart to serve people, to help people. I would try to get away from it. I was like, I'm never going to have children. And I have children, mm-hmm. always with children. After a while, I just surrendered. And while I was going through my own recovery, and that's what I call it, through books, through counseling, seeing a therapist, all those things, I said to the Lord, I can't seem to get away from this, but this also has been the source of my pain. Mm-hmm. I need you to help me. And the Lord began to just talk to me, Dale, about everything that was wrong with it. He was going to make it right. Mm-hmm. That it was a calling on my life to be of service to people, but that he was going to bring healing to me so that I could do the service in a pure form, in mm-hmm. a not out of guilt, not out of obligation. Mm-hmm. But and the Lord did that for me. It took many years. I was in counseling, self-help for many, 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 many years. It didn't go away. I remember one time I was thinking hurt began to come back because it's not just my mother dying that brought trauma in my life, but so many other things mm-hmm. that happened to my life. I was raped, molested, car accidents. So traumas, multiple traumas. I call them complex traumas in my life. And it needed to recover. But all the years of God using people in my life to help me to become healed. And as you said, Dale, up until 2020, I was still dealing with some of these things as a result. And I met a woman who did a surrender fast. It was a 40-day surrender fast. And I was so so intrigued by her life and her story. I said, I'm going to do that. And that was 2020, during the pandemic. So I did the fast with her. And I still was dealing with lots of fears in my life. It was just fearful thinking, fearful, just being fearful. And so one morning in my prayer time, I was like, God, I want to be set free from fear once and for all. And I got my notebook and a pen, and I began to write everywhere fear had entered into my life, all of the traumas that brought fear. And when I finished writing, I had written 4 pages.
Wow.
But that day, I felt such a breakthrough. It was like the weight that I've been carrying all these years. Finally, I felt free.
Amazing.
So recovery and healing for me wasn't instantaneously. It's been years. I was 17 when the happened with my mother. Some of those other things happened before that. But here I was now, 66, and getting free from fear.
This is so good. We're going to take a short break, and when we get back, I want to dive into some of the, about how the trauma affected you. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Cheryl.
Now, I'm willing to bet this week you've gone to a business's website. And I feel safe saying this because it's widely known that every successful business, no matter how big or small, has a strategic online plan. At the 95 Network, we believe that every church, no matter how big or small, must also have a strategic online plan. Now, we know that this can be overwhelming to most pastors, but have no fear, we're here to help. Jesse's our digital discipleship coach. He can help you have a plan of what and when to post online. He can even help you use your Sunday message throughout the week to get more mileage out of that message. Let the 95 Network help you and your church have a great online presence. Now, to get more information on how to contact Jesse or find anything else about the 95 Network, please go to 95network.org.
Back here with Cheryl Robertson, and just got into just the most beautiful moment there. You know, Cheryl, when I went to counseling a few years ago, I learned I didn't, because trauma is not a word we've used in the church. I mean, we haven't done counseling as in most of our lifetime. We you know, as spiritual leaders specifically, we've been taught we're not supposed to have any problems, which is ridiculous. But my counselor taught me that what happens with trauma is it kind of cycles around in the base of your brain. And when you have another trauma, it doesn't trump the last one. It just joins it. And so you can have multiple layers. And you had 4 pages that you said, and all that stuff, until you go and get help, it just cycles around and adds to the pressure. Did you ever get to a point where you thought about ending your life?
Yes, I did. And I just shared that for the first time. I was speaking in my church on the first Sunday in July of this year. Uh-huh. And I shared that for the first time.
Can you talk about it a little bit for us? Just what that moment was like?
Wanting out of the pain. I was in such pain. The other part of it is, it seemed like nobody could see my pain.
Mm-hmm.
But I was walking around in this pain. Everybody else think I'm doing well. Mm-hmm. I was an honor roll student. I was excelled at everything and was doing this mother, big sister thing, seemed like seamlessly. But I was in pain, and multiple times I thought about ending my life. The last time that I thought about it, I was married, and the pain was just so overwhelming. And I made a decision. I said, I'm going to end this once and for all. I think my family, everybody would be better off without me because of all the pain that I'm in. And I tried it. I took pills, but nothing would happen. I took another one and another one. My husband came, he said, what are you doing? I was like, I'm tired. And we went to the doctor and, you know, that started my journey of getting some help. And I was like, I felt like a failure, Dale. I was like, I can't even die. Right. You know,
I don't even know how to do that.
Yes. And so, but then I had this thought, and as I always heard God's voice, even from a child, it was through dreams or through a voice or something out here. It's like, that didn't happen because I have a plan for your life.
Yeah.
Plan for my life. And I'm dealing with all this pain, but it didn't even seem like it goes together.
Yeah, because you were internalizing everything.
Yes, yes.
Did your husband know up until that point? Did he have any clue what you were working through?
He didn't. He would say to me, what's wrong with you? And I said, I don't know how to put it into words. I was like, I just feel like I'm in pain, or just turmoil on the inside of me. And my husband's 5 years older than me. So I didn't know about counseling at that time of my life. Mm-hmm. He didn't know either. Mm-hmm. But he knew that I was in pain, and he didn't know what to do to help me.
Yeah. So what did you do once you attempted and didn't succeed, which I'm glad you didn't? I'm assuming that was like the big, okay, the genie's out of the bottle now. Yes. What happened for you beyond that, or the next step?
That's when I knew I needed help. Mm-hmm. I needed help. And at that time, I still didn't really know about counseling because I was 22, 23 years old at that time, because I got married at 20. Mm-hmm. And an older woman in my church came to me one Sunday and she said, I've been praying for you. I just broke down, started to cry. And she said, I don't know all that's going on in your life. She said, but what you're dealing with, you also, it also is being manifested in illness. And she was so right. I was dealing with these abdominal pains. Mm-hmm. The doctors didn't know what was going on. And that woman just kind of took me under her wing, and she loved on me.
Mm-mm-mm.
Not so much of giving me wisdom or counseling, but she would just love on me. Come to my house. Just sit with me. For the first time, I felt I had somebody that just literally just cared about me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there. Attention. And that started a journey. And then I was introduced to more books that I read, introduced to a beautiful therapist, went through that. And that started my journey of healing. And then in my church, I had a beautiful elder. She's no longer with us. And she just took me to under her wing and you need to read this book. And I want you to do. And I'm telling book after book after book on healing.
Mm-hmm.
on healing.
Do you think the books helped you the most, or the physical contact with people helped you the most? You know what I mean by books, that?
I think the books was the opening for me to get understanding. And then it was the meeting with the therapist and meeting with my elder, who became also my therapist, that really brought it all together for me.
Yeah.
And it was the touch, I feel, of healing.
I see. I think about that verse in James where it says to confess your faults one to another, that you'll be healed. I think with specifically when it comes to emotional things, whether you were, wild and free and all this, or stuff happened to you, no matter who you are, if you have trauma, if you have this stuff on the inside of you, you can read. And as you said, I thought that was a great way of saying it opens the door, but you still need you need Jesus with skin on. You need somebody to love you and be there with you.
Yes.
And that's kind of what you felt too.
And I totally agree with that. I think that touch, that human touch of someone listening and someone caring, brought the book I was reading alive.
Yeah.
That then really brought the healing. And for me to be able to share, like I hadn't shared all of the traumas, that things that happened to me being sexually abused and raped. I hadn't shared that with anybody. My parents went to their graves. I never told my parents.
Wow.
About my sisters only found out about it just a couple of years ago.
Mm-mm-mm. That's what we do as firstborns. We just think we're supposed to carry it all. We can't.
We can't.
You know, Jesus said his yoke was easy, his burden's light.
Yes.
When we try to carry what he's supposed to carry for us, it just does not work.
Yes.
So today, talk to me about where you are today. How are you doing today?
Right where I am today, I feel like that song that says I'm free. Thank God I'm free. No more chains holding me. My soul is rested.
That's amazing.
And so today I use all that I've learned in my life through my journey of healing, and I use it to help others to heal, to be that touch, to be that ear, that listening ear for others. And I feel so blessed that I get to serve mankind in this way. And it also brings joy out of the pain and the suffering that I went through, and that God can use it for a purpose.
Yeah, he redeemed it.
Yes, redeemed.
Earlier in the podcast, you said, because I asked you why you kept inviting more kids in, and you said, I ache for the children. What did you mean by that?
So a lot of times I would meet parents. They were new parents, and they're trying to live their lives, be parents and work and all these things. And this is in my community where I was living. And I would hear them talk to the children, and sometimes, they're yelling and they're doing, and all I'm thinking about is they don't understand what they're doing to the children, internalizing. Mm-hmm. And so I became daycare mother in my community to help these parents have a safe place for their children to come while they were working during the day. And I just nurture those children, just loved on them and helped them. And also it happened with me. I was working in the school system. I was working for the Board of Education, elected members, and parents would call and they would say, my child is, I'm having this difficulty with my child. And all I was like, tell me a little bit what's going on. Now, that wasn't really my job. I was administrative assistant. But I would say, tell me what's going on with your child. And when they would tell me, I had insight for the parents what to do. I had several parents who had lost their husbands. And so they don't understand why the child is acting up because of my experience. Mm-hmm. I was able to share. I know what's going on with your child, you know. And so that's the ache that I would have, you know, for children. Wanted them to have a safe place and wanted them not to deal and have to experience the traumas that I watch myself.
Do you think maybe your passion for children is because you didn't get to be one?
Exactly it. Yeah. I don't even really remember much about my childhood because I was always a child adult. That's the way I put it. And I don't, you know, the thing that I remember about my childhood was not a good thing. And that was when I was around 6 years old, I got very, very sick. Wasn't able to walk, wasn't able to feed myself. And bless my mother and our father, never went to the doctor, never found out what it was. And they nurtured me back to health. And I was able to return to school and went on with life and didn't know whatever happened. The funny thing happened to me. In 2005, September, remember I told you my mother got ill? September. I end up in the hospital with double pneumonia. Wow. The doctors said it was the worst case of pneumonia they had ever seen. I was in the hospital for 3 weeks. Come to find out, I was diagnosed with a very rare autoimmune disease. They sent me to NIH so they could do more testing and all of that. And they said to me, "Were you ever really sick as a child?" I said, "Yes." They think this autoimmune disease that I've been diagnosed with, that's what happened to me when I got very sick as a child. Wow. Now I'm 51 years old when they're finding that out.
Oh, the impact of life, the impact of trauma, the impact of illness, the whole thing. And this is why I wanted you on the podcast today. We have so many leaders right now that are just lost. And I don't mean spiritually, but just they don't know what to do. The church has changed on them. How we go, you know, I've said that I believe we're in a reformation and how we have done church in the past is changing and will change. And we've got to update. And that's hard. Because so many pastors, so many leaders in churches, they internalize everything. And I wanted you here today because, you know, I think, how old did you tell me you were? And you've only reason I asked this because you've already said it on the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. I'm 69.
All right, you're 69 years old and you're just now beginning to kind of walk in freedom.
Yes.
Because you spent an entire life carrying a weight that wasn't supposed to be yours.
Yes.
And so I want to ask you to do this. If you were sitting down with one of our listeners today, one of our pastors or one of our staffers, and they looked at you and said, which I'm sure lots of people have done, and just go, "Cheryl, I'm a mess. I've got all this pressure. I got all this stuff in my life." If you're sitting down with them, maybe having a cup of coffee, what would you say to them?
The first thing I would say, you need to talk to somebody. Fine. And I do that. I do that with my own pastors. Find a good therapist, Christian or not, because I believe they're good therapists, that you can talk to someone to help you to unpack all that's going on in your life. And I've been talking to my pastors about it. And I did a message, two messages on trauma in July, because I feel so strongly about this, especially in the church. Especially in the church. And I share how trauma reshapes your life.
Yep.
It reshapes your life. And when you don't talk about it, don't get the help, and all gifts come from God.
Yes.
He has gifted doctors to bring healing to us, spirit, soul, and body. And what I said was, we'll do the spiritual part, we'll do the body part, but we don't do the soul care.
That's why we're doing Soul Care Essentials right now. Jesus said, love the Lord with all your soul. And we don't spend any time focusing on that. We've been taught that. We've caught it that we're supposed to internalize this. We're supposed to buck up. We're supposed to be strong for everybody. Yeah. And I'm not talking about being wimpy. I'm just talking about being honest.
That's right.
And that's why I go back to that James verse. I don't know that you can walk in health, total healing and health, if you don't find someone to confess your faults to or the things you're dealing with. And when I say faults, I don't mean necessarily a sin, but just that's even the things that have happened to you.
That's it. That's it.
And it works.
We have to confess it.
It works.
That's where healing starts for me, through me being able to talk about the things that happened to me. The other thing, Dale, is things get buried. You know, when I start talking, then other things come to mind.
Yep.
So for me, it brings more freedom because all of that stuff that's there gets unpacked.
Yeah.
And greater healing can come as a result.
Well, I love you so much. I love the fact that you've allowed the Lord to take all that pain, all those ashes, and make beauty from it, and turn your sorrow into dancing and joy. And I really believe you're going to have a greater impact in your ministry from here to however long the Lord allows than you probably have had up to this point, because you're sharing the freedom that you've experienced.
I so believe it. I just shared with a mentee last night. I said, God is so funny to me. Age doesn't mean a thing to him. I said, I feel like at this time in my life, at 69 years old, I'm living my best life ever as a result of it, having greater impact than ever any time in my life.
It's so good. Here's where I want to wrap this podcast up today. I've been thinking about this for a little bit. I want you to pray over our listeners. I want you just to, however the Lord leads you to pray, and just pray over them. And then when you close the prayer out, I'll go ahead and thank you now for being on the podcast, but we'll let that be the end of the podcast today. But just take a moment and pray as the Lord leads you, because I want to see, as you just said, you're living your best life now at 69. I'm 61. I just literally said that statement to my wife yesterday. I have the most joy, most peace, most contentment. I'm good, if I could say it like that. I don't mean I'm good, you know, Dale's good. I'm just saying internally, it's amazing how much more powerful your ministry is when it's, you're not hiding anything on the inside anymore.
Yes.
So if you wouldn't mind, would you take a moment and just pray over our listeners? And then when you say amen, we'll be done with the podcast today. And I want to thank you again so much for joining me and being transparent. And I'm just thankful you made it. I'm glad you didn't succeed at what you tried a long time ago. God, the Lord's using you today in a powerful way.
Thank you for an opportunity to be with you, Dale, and to just share part of my journey. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love, your loving kindness. We thank you for an opportunity to be a blessing to others. We thank you for Dale and his ministry, his transparency, that even opened the door for me to share my story. And I pray for the listening audience, oh God. Father, you want us to be healed, spirit, soul, and body. And whoever's listening today, God, that is dealing with any internal turmoil, no matter where it comes from, help them to know that you want them healed and that you have given us tools and resources to bring healing into our lives through therapists and counselors and other doctors, oh God. So, Father, I just thank you, God, that those that are listening, that their minds would be penetrated today, their hearts would be penetrated, that they would say yes for the first time in their lives to total healing, and that they will seek you and seek out the way that they could be made whole, so they too, like Dale and I, are feeling like we're living our best lives. At this time, we thank you, God, that you will use the work of this ministry of Dale's and those who share to reach many, many, many people and bring healing to the body of Christ, into the world, mm-hmm. worldwide. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the 95 Podcast. We look forward to sharing another episode with you next week. In the meantime, visit our website at 95network.org. The website is loaded with great resources created for small and mid-sized church leaders. Until next time, have a great week.